Hi, this is Paul Warne, and you're listening to the Rams Review Podcast.
This is the Rams Review Podcast. Discussions, insights, interviews, and analysis. All passion, all Derby County. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Rams Review Podcast with your host, Jason, for this week. Joining me for topical debates, as there always is, Chris Holt. Chris, thanks for joining me again.
Good evening, Jason. Looking forward to it, mate.
As always, Jack Bryan, thanks for joining us, mate.
Yep, thank you. This should be a good chat, I think.
I hope so. I certainly hope so. Plenty to talk about as we look at Port Vale, the 3-0 victory, clean sheet. Plenty to talk about that. We'll go over Derby's trip to Bristol Rovers on Saturday and hopefully backing up that home performance. Obviously, another chance to see Chris Martin scoring goals in League One, which he some fans wanted him to do for Derby. We've also, before the end of the podcast, we will touch on Derby's home game next Tuesday against Reading and hopefully a bit of revenge after the result that we got down there a couple of weeks ago where Derby missed the chance to go top. So chance for revenge, hopefully. And then obviously just in the distance, 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks away is that visit of Bolton to Pride Park. But that will be covered on another podcast. We've also got League One action this week happening midweek. We are not playing, but Bolton Barnsley are, Peterborough are. So a bit of a grudge match at the top end of the league table tonight. Hopefully things go our way. I think we'll take a point. And hopefully Derby aren't too far out of second place by the end of this midweek round of fixtures. But we'll move on to Saturday. And Chris, I'll come to you first. 3-0, three goals, clean sheet. Not massively, dominating. Port Vale, for me, poorest side I've seen at Pride Park. They had a bit of a 10-minute sort of spell after Derby had taken an early lead with a bizarre first goal. I think it's fair to say, a bit like pinball. I mean, when people say it was like pinball, that was exactly like pinball. But Lewis Sibley was on the end of it. And then a game where you wanted Derby to really push on. You could see they were bereft of confidence. You could see they're not a brilliant outfit. I don't necessarily think Derby really did enough, which I say they had a bit of a go. But ultimately, Derby got that second in Dwight Gale's first goal. And then the second half, really, not to sound too disrespectful, it was the icing on the cake was the third goal and Derby won it at a canter, didn't they?
Yeah, I'm with you, Jason. I thought Port Vale was shocking, to be honest. And the fact that you say the word canter, and I get your point of view regarding the second half. I found the first half a difficult watch, even though we were taking the lead. I thought that we were lucky in a strange way to have Port Vale as that fixture this week. I don't think a better fixture we could have had because you're right, they look clueless. They played a very strange 3-4-2-1 or 3-2. It was all over the place, their formation. I had no idea exactly what Darren Moore was trying to achieve. I think that if it wasn't for the fact that we had Joe Ward having his best game and probably Lewis Sibley having his best game, I think if they would have done their previous form, brought that into the game, I think we would have been in a little bit of bother. But look, Jason, I think the easiest way to describe the game is I'll take it. I'll take the 3-0. I'll take the 3 points with a crucial week of fixtures ahead. I think it's a game that will quickly be forgotten. Other than I thought Gale's goal, which I thought was class. I thought the way he directed the ball into the bottom corner of the net was absolutely superb. And just shows you what quality he has got if you get him in the right spots. I also thought that the game showed again us missing James Collins. And us missing a fit Nathaniel Mendes-Lang. We became very reliant on the right-hand side of the pitch. And if a better team would have seen that, they would have nullified us, Jason. And I don't know what Jack thinks, but I thought that, yeah, we got away with one almost.
Yeah, I would say the wing backs, excellent. I mean, I wrote this up. I think there was a kind of synergy between them, and also at times the wingers in front of them in that first half, at least, there was, you know, some understanding, Sibley and Mendes Lang getting that option for Sibley to underlap at times and have, you know, one stay wide, one come in, was something that we haven't seen in a while, was something that was different from Derby's usual left wing back options. And I think in some ways, and I think this is more damning than anything, in very short spells, it was some of the best like football we've seen from a back three, and Warren's traditional back three. And the fact of the matter with that is that actually it's reliant on excellent performances from wing-backs. For this back three to work, you know, we have to have wing-backs on song. And then, you know, we can have spells which are decent. But then, you know, as soon... This is Port Vale as well. That's the other thing. Who were all over the place. And the fact that that's the best we've seen that system operate in a while is maybe telling you something.
I think of the whole, you know, the 3-5-2, it is absolutely reliant on wing-backs, isn't it? And like you said, we've probably not quite got it right so many times this season in that scenario. We've almost been forced to play it again because of the player injury. As Chris mentioned there, Ward comes in from the cold, really, and puts in an absolute stalwart performance. And to be honest with you, if he goes the same way as Bradley did after those, obviously, first couple of games, looks shaky, he's been taken out of it, and it works to our advantage, then Derby are in a massive positive for the last 9-10 games of the season. And we've just got to hope that that's the case, because Wilson's form's completely gone off the boil. And it does look like Niambe's probably now, unfortunately, going to miss the rest of the season with the injury that he picked up against Charlton. So whilst, you know, that right-back position this season, or right wing-back, it's been a bit of an interesting one, hasn't it? All of a sudden, we had three, then we had zero, well, two, then we brought one in, and then we had three, and now we're back down to the bare bones again on the right. But, yeah, Joe Ward, fantastic, putting those balls in. And I think, even for the first goal, it's him knowing not to just hump balls into the box. And I think Kane Wilson, some can be not criticised, but you can say this, and I think Mendes Lang sometimes a little bit the same. Dwight, it is pointless putting a ball onto Dwight Gale's head, and I know I'm about to contradict it with the second one, but most of the time that flash ball across is going to be the type of ball that the attack at the moment is going to benefit from. Gale's there doing what he should do, and I was very impressed with Gale. I was Saturday. I listened to the phone in last night, and somebody, I can't remember who it was now, mentioned that they didn't think he'd done a lot. And I must, he was there. He was dragging people out of position. That's what allowed Sibley to get his first goal. He's a bit more sprightly. That's a bit of an odd word, but he's a bit more sprightly than I was expecting him to be. Which I was quite impressed with. And obviously we know he's got the brain to play at this level comfortably. So very impressed with that. I'm hoping that's the start of, you know, if he can, I don't want to put too much pressure on him, but if he can score in most games between now and the end of the season, you know, that book gives Derby a massive chance of finishing in the top two and going up automatically. I was quite pleased with the way that he finished his chance. And a mention for Ebu Adams, who I thought for the previous two, not gone off the boil, but I think he started his Derby career so well that everybody were fully expecting a 9 out of 10 from him every week. And I mean, he's not Makalele, he's not, you know, Kante, he is a League One footballer, but Derby, I've seen solidness from him over the start of his Derby County career. And as I say, I think he'd had a bit of a lull. I thought Saturday were excellent. And that ball that he put in as well, he was everywhere. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing against a different side that may have cost us, but I think it was due to the detriment of Port Vale. I think hopefully the coaching staff noticed it, and he noticed it personally, that he could push onto that and double up on that right-hand side, because he wasn't in a lot of trouble. And when Derby overload and can play that way, like you said, Jack, Derby in patches played some of the best football we've seen from them all season, really. So I was impressed with that. As I say, a different opposition brings a different challenge, but you can only play what's in front of you. And then, say, that second half, if anybody was going to knock Sibley's name off the first goal, no chance he was coming away from that second. And he'd not scored at Pride Park for 2 years. He's got three in two games or whatever it is. So whilst there are a couple of people dropping a little bit on form, and we'll move on to that in a little bit, there are a couple of other players that are coming to the front, Jack.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I just, you know, in the piece I wrote up on Saturday night after the game, I did a little bit of analysis on kind of wing-backs. I think, you know, I kind of said it in the piece, I think for Louis Sibley, this different option that he has to come inside, the way we saw him at times get into those positions that you know, not all that dissimilar to what we would expect of a natural attacking midfielder. You know, it's really interesting. Does this become, against lesser teams with the license to attack, is this the outlet for his energy, with then the ability to, you know, still get into those positions? I don't know. I mean, if you look at what's going on around kind of top sides in Europe and kind of filtering down, you know, I linked to a Twitter thread on kind of why back fives are becoming increasingly common. And it's that sort of idea we're seeing now of keeping three back as a solid back three and the other two being free to roam in possession. Now, for a lot of clubs, that's even becoming wide centre-backs and disrupting the structure of the opposition through the middle in that respect. And I think Paul Warne very much likes his attackers, you know, the people that then attack when the possession is turned over, to be his wing-backs. But there's no, you know, no reason why, if there's a weakness in the middle and the middle of the park is where we need to overload, I would expect an inverted wing-back before I'd expect Sonny Bradley or Curtis Nelson stepping up, I would say. So I think it's something to keep in Paul Warne's locker, really, in terms of tactics. And it'd be interesting to see whether the situation arises again, because, yeah, I think this was the best game Sibley's had in a while. And, yeah, as I say, is that a one-off? Is that because of the opposition? Is that, you know, what are the factors? It'd be interesting to see, you know, if Saturday is, you know, anywhere near similar from Warden Sibley, because they were just on it.
Yeah, I think that's a very key point that we can move into. I think the point Chris made earlier, it's Port Vale, it's 3-0, it's a clean sheet, we move on, we won't talk about it at the end of the season, regardless if Derby go up or not. But it was good to almost get that hoodoo out of the way of two straight defeats, because it's not the time of year that we want that sort of form. But Chris, we'll move on to some players to pull out from that game. And we've kind of mentioned them all already, I think. I think it's poignant to mention, you know, Ward's performance Saturday was the Ward we sort of hoped would come in and do from the start. And obviously he unfortunately didn't really do that. He looked brilliant in pre-season. I remember going to a couple of the games, really linked up well with James Collins, looked like we'd got a solid option down that side. And then unfortunately it never really materialised into league form. So I'm hoping that's him now, hopefully settling into that first team, like Jack's just said there, and sure fire really. Now you'd have thought right back, it's his to lose, build on those performances, and hopefully we get the best out of him for the last eight games, because he's going to be a massive addition. As I say, I want to talk about him. I want to talk about Ebu Adams, who again had a brilliant game at Pride Park, got an assist, an all-round nuisance, just put himself around. I was really impressed. Louis Sibley again. It's going to be the same old conversation with Louis. Can he do it two games in a row? And of course, we've got to talk about, even though we've just touched on it in a bit more detail, Dwight Gill's first goal and what that can mean for Derby between now and the running. It's been a year since he's scored a goal. It's taken him, what, less than 90 minutes in a Derby shirt to get on the end of one. With the news that James Collins could be back at the end of March, it takes the pressure off Gale a little bit. We just need Gale for the next two or three to, you know, to have a bit of an impact. And then we're coming into the real business end of the season, and hopefully we'll have a few bodies back as well, Chris. But, you know, just a general mention for a few of those players on Saturday who I thought actually, you know, turned up and deserve a mention.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I was just looking at some of the stats, and one thing that comes to mind when you remember the Joe Wall performance, as good as it was, I thought Jack Shorrock, he had him on toast. He was bloody awful, let's be completely honest. And I think Ward was just rubbing his hands from day one. I find the thing I will touch on before I go on to the individual players is the fact that Jack's analysis is spot on, especially with the fact that Hourihane isn't in the starting lineup. And I don't think you could play inverted system as you are with the overlaps with Hourihane in the team. I just don't think you can. I don't think there's enough pace in the midfield to allow that to happen. Regarding the actual performances, you're right, Jason, you can only play against who's in front of you. And that's where the dilemma falls, because when we've come across better teams this last three or four games, Sibley is flatter to deceive. And all of a sudden you come against a team that I think might struggle to even stay in this division. Let's be honest, I think Port Vale are in real trouble. I don't know how to barometer it as such. I don't know whether we say it's absolutely top-notch. I don't know whether it's the performance of the season by him. I don't know if the opposition was dross. It's a strange one. I would like to talk about Abue Adams first. I think that we still need to keep him reined in. I think as his enthusiasm sometimes gets the better of him, and I think sometimes he tends to drift. Now, against a lesser opposition, you get away with it. But against a structured opposition like a Peterborough, who fortunately we don't have to play again, or against certainly Bolton, who we do have to play, I don't think he'll have that freedom at all. They'll be far more structured and far more disciplined. So as good as he was, I think it was against a very ill-disciplined, and let's be honest, a team that probably the goal at half-time killed him. To go into half-time 2-0 down and just conceding, you know, guys, you know and I know, that's a kick in the stomach, which you just don't recover from. Regarding Gale, the caller that spoke on Radio Derby, I heard that call. My opinion is I don't want him to do a lot. He's 34, 35 years old. Let's keep him fit. He's a fox in the box. He showed his qualities. He's got a fantastic touch. He can read play without having to see runs off him. And I don't want him running around the pitch, bombarding centre-halves and full-backs. I want him within a 10-yard square between the penalty box and the edge of the D-jack. I don't know about yourself, but I don't want him anywhere else.
Absolutely. He's poacher. That's what we need at this point. You know, somebody who can lead the line, being, you know, in that position. That's what we missed for those couple of games where we didn't have a striker. And yeah, all he needs to do is keep fit and be ready for the chances to come to him, because there is enough energy in this team, really, as it stands, that we can kind of get away with that. He doesn't need to be overexerting himself and risking injury when, you know, I mean, Waghorn's coming back as well. But at the moment, yeah, absolutely. Keep him in that area. You know, the most kind of taxing run he should be doing should be from the edge of the D to, you know, forward to the front of that, you know, towards the penalty spot, or if the cross was there, you know, further forward, even 6-yard box. But that should be it. It should be those kind of short sprints. And that should be his role in the team, because, you know, we're saying Adams and so on, the energy there, they can make up for that when, you know, when we're against lesser opposition, certainly, and they can afford to be out of position. The other thing I'd say with Adams is that at least it's encouraging to see that he has the capability to do that and run around all game, because if he can be reined in the big games and can channel that energy into solely being solid, then that's a really good sign. But that's an if at this point. We need to see that. You know, let's not get excited and, you know, call him, I don't know, Kante when Chelsea won the Champions League and he kind of carried them all the way through. He's you know, we can't make those sorts of comparisons yet, but he has had a, and obviously it's League One, but he's had a, you know, a great start and then kind of dipped a little bit and yeah, look good again on Saturday. So yeah, I think Gale's role is very much the finisher of these good moves. And that's all it needs to be at this stage.
No, I would fully agree. And I think that the word energy that you mentioned there, Jack, does tie in. That midfield does look like it's got a little bit more energy without Urahan in it, which is obviously harsh to say about your captain, but it is a fair point. I thought the last two games, Corey Smith, obviously two, three games Corey Smith's been involved in, I don't necessarily think he'd put a foot wrong, if I'm honest. In fact, I'd almost say he was pretty decent in those games. But again, he is a foot on the ball, slow down the pace kind of player for me. I think the energy from Bird, he definitely benefits from somebody behind him like Adams, who can nip a ball about and do what he needs to do. So a bit of energy from the midfield, which obviously is covered by the wing backs with a bit of energy, which hopefully then leads into the forward line, which I suppose is a bit of an area that it's hard to put two and it's hard to put these two together, but it probably isn't a million miles away. Mendes Lang obviously has been a little bit hit and miss just recently. I know that's a little bit harsh because he has scored and he has set up a couple, but he's not been his usual self. He's almost had that towards the end of season blowout, a bit similar to what we saw from him last season. And I suppose really he needs possibly just a game on the bench. Obviously a week off this week, hopefully will benefit. But, you know, it comes to game day on Saturday against Bristol Rovers, and then obviously you've got 3 in 7 days. You still can't really afford to drop him. You can't afford to drop him away from home because you know what he can do. The Reading game at home is one that you're expected to win, so you've got to have your best player out there, or best players. And then obviously in 10 days' time, you've probably got one of the first of hopefully two or three defining games of the back end of the season, where again you've got to have your best players out there. So there's no rest for the wicked in that position. And again, you look on that left-hand side, Sibley's been shunted around a little bit. He played a bit more forward yesterday, on Saturday, thought he did quite well. Barkhuizen just still flits in and out of games for me. Not that I slate him, but I don't think he's been brilliant for Derby. And then he has a bit of a run, and just when I really want to put the hammer in on him, he turns up with a performance. He does something, he's been a bit more impressive. So I have to, on a personal level, have to rein that in a little bit for a couple of games and see how he gets on. And then he has another couple and you think, we have questioned a few players this season on the podcast, praised as well. But every time I'm about ready to unleash on Tom Barkhuizen, it seems that he puts in a bit of a performance. So maybe he'll pull one out on Saturday as well and save me from giving him a tongue lashing next week as well. But all in all, lads, I think it's, as we round that up, it was job done. And I think that's as much as you can say. I think there'd be more complaints if Derby had come away on Saturday 1-0, 1-0 against Port Vale. It's quietened down a few of the haters, if you want to call them that. I thought the South Stand was much better on Saturday, which is where I sit. I thought the whole ground, the atmosphere, the crowd itself was pretty good on Saturday, and helped Derby maintain, as we say, against what was, no disrespect, quite a poor League One side. But we would be having, of course, a very much different conversation if we'd have lost that game or only got a point out of it. So we have to praise 3 points when they come along, especially when we've been on that little bit of a rocky patch. And it's about you know, now moving on to Saturday against Bristol Rovers and hopefully putting in a very similar level of performance. Before we wrap up the podcast with focusing on our next two games, Bristol Rovers and Reading, I want to give Jack and Chris a opportunity to discuss something that we mentioned on the podcast last week because they weren't here, and obviously things that have gone off over the last sort of couple of weeks since they were last on for a different opinion. And it's certainly not to try and be negative Nancy after 3 points, because that's not what the podcast is about. It's about being balanced and obviously giving people an opportunity to express their opinion. And Chris, I will come to you first. 2 weeks ago, me and you went on Radio Derby together to preview the Barnsley game. We obviously spoke about that, and then one eye obviously on the Charlton at home, hoping after a couple of decent results that Derby were going to really kick into gear in this back end of the season. We're 2 weeks further on from that, and of course we have those two defeats. And as I mentioned, not earlier, not just the two defeats, the manner of the two defeats, and the fact that Derby went in front in both of those games and couldn't use their game management to get out of them. Because whilst there were periods in play from both of those games from the opposition, I don't think Derby were blown away in either. And I do look at it and think Derby didn't manage that them two games well enough to come out with something, when really they should have come out of both of them with something, especially after taking the lead. It's a controversial topic, as it always is over social media. And I put it to you that, is it the right time to still be criticising managers' tactics? Is it still the right time to criticise team performances, with ultimately Derby sat in second and still very much in this promotion fight? Appreciate performances haven't been fantastic just recently, but I think it's fair to say performances haven't been fantastic all season. So is it a little bit unfair and sort of channeling your energy in the wrong way to all of a sudden expect Derby to click and blow these next 10 games away and win the league? Because for me, it's not. I don't think it's going to happen. Derby have played in a certain style, in a certain way all season. We've lost one or two players that were key to that. I'm all for people having their opinions and their gripes, and I think a lot of it's justified. But I think we're coming into that real business end now. What's the benefit of sort of being having a fan base that's being negative? Because for me personally, I just don't see it. Whatever happens in these next 10 games. If Derby ultimately fail, that's the time to address it. Not necessarily from a fan's perspective, you know, as we saw the other night at Charlton, you know, them getting booed. I don't think that's helping anybody with 10 games to go. Because let's be honest, the management ain't changing. Not now. I'd be surprised if it actually changed in the summer, but they're certainly not going to change it with 9-10 games to go. It's a negative cloud for me that's not really going to achieve anything in terms of, you know, fans not protesting, because of course there's no protests, but, you know, fans' displeasure, which I accept. I don't think it's doing much good, Chris, and I don't think it's being listened to, if I'm being honest, because we're at a business end of a season and there's not many teams, no matter where you are in the league, that especially not second, that are going to upheave a management team for the final 8 games of the season.
No, I don't disagree. And I wouldn't say I'm negative. I think I'm realist. I think the biggest concern for me, Jason, is going into the last 10 games where there's 30 points on offer, the previous 10 games, if we take that form into the last 10, we're not getting to the promised land. That's my opinion. And the reason I say that is that I'd much rather be in Barnsley's position at the moment, because they're unbeaten in 5. They've won 4 out of those 5, including Orient, Fleetwood, ourselves. And they absolutely wiped the floor with Wickham on Saturday and looked good for it. And they're at home to Bolton tonight. And I firmly believe that Bolton will get beat, because I also think Bolton are having a pretty bad wobble with them losing two out of the last three. I think, Jason, what really concerns me is how inept we were in the two games you just mentioned, where we couldn't string three passes together. And we have confidence in that team. The players keep telling us after in post-match interviews that they believe in it, they've got the ability, they're fit, they are fully capable of winning this league, and they've got the best squad mentality in the division. But the football isn't telling me that. And if it wasn't for the likes of Nelson, who's been an absolute stalwart this year, and if he doesn't get player of the season, in my opinion, I'll be very disappointed. Without the likes of him and Cashin playing as good as they have at the back, I'm not convinced, guys, that we'd even be in the top six. And that's my honest opinion. What also concerns me is that you've got Blackpool coming on a charge. You're hot on form. Well, we've got to play them. We have got a seriously difficult run in. But I think we play Portsmouth and Blackpool back to back, and then Wickham. I think we have three of the hardest games. I think we have to go to Wickham away on a Tuesday at 7:45. And I don't like taking this form into them kind of games. I really don't. I'd much rather be taking the form in that Barnsley have into those three games and thinking, yeah, let's do it. And I'm not a Paul Wall fan. You know that, guys. I don't believe in his football. I think that it's quite basic. I think it's quite straightforward. And I think good teams have worked that out quite quickly. What really worries me, and I'll pass the baton on to you guys, is that every time we've come up against a top six team or a team that is in form, we fail. And we just have not. We could have showed our pedigree, Jason and Jack, by beating Barnsley. We could have shown our pedigree by doing the double over Charlton. And the only thing we have done really is beat Port Vale 3-0. And we've all three of us agreed and went, yep, let's move on. And that worries me. So if you want an honest answer, I think questions will be asked in the summer if we don't go up. You're saying that the management won't change. I'm not convinced. I think that something needs to be looked at. You don't give a manager. I think he's got a 4 or 5 year contract, which I think was a very silly option anyway for a start, but we won't go there. So if you're asking me, do I like the form we're on now? No, I don't. Is it going to take us to the promised land unless something changed quickly, Jack? No, I don't believe it will.
No, so Paul Wall's contract is until 2026. So it was a nearly 4 year deal when he signed it in September of 2022. So that's another 2 years on this deal, another two seasons after this one. But if you look at Derby's next, these final 10 games, Bristol Rovers away on Saturday, then Reading at home, and then it's Bolton at home, Northampton away, but that could yet be moved because of internationals. Blackpool comes to Pride Park on Good Friday, and then now on the 2nd of April, the day after Easter Monday, Portsmouth away. And, that's a whole other issue. But, in terms of travel, because of Wickham being in the Bristol Street Motors Trophy final, that's a Wednesday night. And then the final three, Leighton Orient at home, Cambridge away, Carlisle at home. Now, those three will be seen as, relatively easy. But, Leighton Orient are ninth. They are 6 points off the playoffs, and Stevenage have a game in hand on them in six. So, it's an uphill struggle for them. But if they go on a good run again, there could be another one who, are in good form coming into it. But really, I think the concern for me is this next run. You think Bolton, then Northampton away, okay, right, that's, going to be seen as less so. But even then, they're 11th. So, they've had a good season. Being away from home, they're going to make it difficult. And then you've got the Easter weekend of Blackpool at home and then Portsmouth away. That is huge. Obviously, that's end of March. James Collins could be back, but you don't want to rush him in, ideally. So how they manage that's going to be interesting. I mean, that weekend's actually massive in that Derby women play Forest women as well. So that's going to be a very busy weekend. But yeah, I think I try to be as balanced as I can. Obviously, it's difficult to be impartial as fans, But trying to give this balanced view, there's a, again, as Chris said, there's a difference between realism and negativity. And, you know, taking the emotion out of it, you have to look at Derby's, what, 17 points, I think. I just did the maths, so provided I can count, that's right, from their last 10 games, and think, if they get that, they're going to end on, what, 86, which is unlikely to be enough, very unlikely. And, yeah, so things have got to pick up, and that's with, as I say, this difficult run, Bolton, Blackpool, Portsmouth, Wickham. So it's looking like probably playoffs, but obviously we'd all be delighted to be proven wrong here. But yeah, the odds of that seem slim at the moment.
So I'm gonna try and balance it out a little bit as well and look at it from another perspective. That Derby have still got to go to three of that challenging seven or eight. And if you look at some of the other teams, they're all playing each other over the run towards the back end of the season. So I'm not sure if, obviously they say sort of 90 points for automatic. I'm not sure it's going to be that high. 86, I don't know. I think I would agree, Jack. I'm not sure if that's quite enough. I think we're talking fine margins. I can't see us going between now and the end of the season unbeaten. I really can't. If we can, we'd probably go up, but I don't see it personally. We have got to put a marker down against somebody. And we do say it regularly over the football calendar that the Easter period is always a key one, and it is for Derby. It's going to be top, potentially, probably, and what, by then, probably fifth or sixth. It's two massive games, Friday night under the lights against Blackpool, and then obviously a very disappointing now trip on a Tuesday night for Sky Sports reasons down to Pompey. I mean, you've got to look at it. If we look at, I know it doesn't work this way, but you look at the reverse fixtures of those games this season. Obviously, Bristol Rovers, believe we beat at Pride Park. Reading, we lost. We lost to Bolton, but then we beat Northampton. We beat Blackpool. We got a point against Portsmouth. We picked up a point against Wickham, which we should have won. Obviously, we were a couple of minutes away from beating Portsmouth at home. So I'm not necessarily sure it's complete doom and gloom. I don't think the away form, taking Barnsley aside, but I think as we previewed, Chris, 2 weeks ago on, as I say, on the sports scene, Barnsley are on fire at the moment. And we went into that. And I thought that opening 30 minutes, as we've mentioned on last week's podcast, I thought Derby were pretty decent. We scored a bit too early for me. And then we sat back. We tried to adapt a game plan that didn't work. Now, I think that's fairly obvious to say. We tried to sit back, allow them a bit of the ball, which was dangerous. And then one thing that I will say, I think we've done well this season is when we've had a bit of a hiccup, we've normally bounced back. And I think that's probably what gripes a lot more Derby fans, the way that we dropped them points against Charlton at Pride Park 3 days later, because again, We played all right. We took the lead. We looked comfortable. And then obviously a moment of madness from Joe. And then their heads dropped, and which is something that I don't think we've seen from the Derby side. One thing I will say this season, I think Derby have been, is a little bit more resilient, especially over the last 5 or 6 weeks with that little bit more bite in midfield. I think that's the one that, for me, I can take going to Barnsley and losing. I would have loved to have won, because it really would have put us in a good place, and clubs would have looked at us and gone, well, you know, you can't bet against Derby now. I haven't got a problem with losing that one. For me, it's the Charlton one out of the two that's the bigger one, because over the two games, if you said you'd come out of it with 3 points, I don't think many would have complained, if I'm honest.
No, but what I will say, Jason, is that we've not allowed ourselves to have a buffer. I thought February was the most important month of our running. I thought we could have sealed second in February with a good run, especially with results around us. I'm looking at Barnes' fixtures now, and I'm telling you guys, they're running. I would love to have their next. They've got three of the next four at home. They've got Bolton tonight, then Lincoln, and then Carlisle away, and then Cheltenham at home. Now, to me, that's got 12 points written all over it. I think they'll beat Bolton tonight. Then they go away to Portsmouth, and then they're at home again to Cambridge, and then away to Burton. And I'm just thinking, wow, they have a very, very nice run in. And I just don't. The trouble is, Jason, we haven't created ourselves a buffer where we can have one or two bad results and still have our necks in front. We've been pegged back with games in hand being played tonight and next weekend. And if we've got to now perform at our top level for the next 10 games. And you're absolutely spot on, Jason. Barnsley was one of those situations where we scored too early, we made the wrong tactic, and other than being picked off by a very basic error for the second goal, it was very poor zonal marking, we could have got away with a point, and that would have given us a lot of confidence. I just think the running goes against us, Jason. I really do. And Jack's probably done some stats on this, but I just feel that Barnsley are in the driving seat now. And I think if they win tonight, they're going to be six unbeaten, five wins out of six, with two very easy home games and an easy away game, let's be honest. And they could be 6 to 8 points clear by the end of March, and that really worries me.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very fair point. And maybe on after the next podcast, obviously these games tonight, two more games for Derby, we might be talking more about playoff contenders and the form that, you know, that they're sort of in, which obviously the remit was to go up. And I'm not defying that we're going to make it yet. But I think if we look at a team like Barnsley, if they are on that sort of run, I wouldn't want to face them in the playoffs. I would rather them go up second. And then if we have got to battle it out against a Bolton who are a little bit uneasy, or, you know, Stevenage, who, you know, we know you could probably over two legs get a result. Again, Blackpool make a late charge, you never know, but we've got to play those games, and you've got to look at that as trying to get a one up over them as well between now and the end of the season. But I'm still definitely focused on Derby finishing in that top two. I'm not 100% confident. I wasn't 100% confident 4 games ago, but we are still, by hook or by crook, sat in second. And I mean, obviously, it's like tonight's game, Barnsley Bolton, like you say, it's where do you want it to go? A point, we drop to third anyway. Barnsley win, they're level. Bolton win, they go 3 points above us. So it is a bit of a, I don't know what, I suppose you would take the draw because you've still got to play Bolton. You can claw that point back if you can beat them, which I remember last season at Pride Park, we blew them away, really. So I'm not writing Derby off, but whilst I have over the last couple of weeks thought to myself, oh, Derby have dropped points, but other teams around us have dropped points, it is now you look at it and you think, actually, we dropped more. That's actually hurt us a little bit more. We're focusing just on Bolton when the likes of Barnsley are creeping up behind you and Blackpool are creeping up behind you. And Portsmouth, by the time we play Portsmouth on Easter Monday, Easter Tuesday, they might have won it. They if they continue the form that they've had after that wobble that they had in January, in all fairness, they could have pulled away. I think what the gap's 7 points now. It was what?
Yes.
A couple of points 3 games ago. So they really have kicked on again.
The only thing to say with that is they're five before they play us. They've got Blackpool away on Saturday, Burton at home, then Peterborough away, Barnsley at home, and Wickham away. So there's a couple of big games there with promotion or playoff contenders. But after us, they do have Bolton away as well in their third to final game. So there's, you know, but again, going back to the point about a buffer, they've got that with those, what was 7 points before kickoff tonight. So they can afford to lose a couple.
Play Peterborough, I mean, the same day we play Bolton, don't they? I believe.
Yes, that's
just don't lose. They just don't lose, Jack. They just don't. They make sure they don't lose against their rivals, and the Buffer sees them home.
Oh yeah, and that's. But yeah, that's the only significant thing with their running. There are a fair few 6-pointers, which is significant for Derby. In either could Peterborough, Portsmouth, excuse me, drag themselves, you know, like fall back into the mix by some, it'd be a bit of a disaster for them. I think we'd all be quite surprised. Or if they're taking points off other teams that are around us and actual, you know, rivals for us, that's probably more likely to be where it's significant at this stage. But that is something to watch, I think, as well.
No, again, a very, very fair point. If, a team can start nicking, but I'd rather them run it. I'd rather them run away with it now. If that's what beating teams in and around us is going to help us, I think that's... It's sad to look at it in that way, but at the end of the day, that's the way that we're going to have to look into it, because I don't think, and I think we sort of all agree, I don't think our performances alone now are going to be enough to guarantee it. I'd love to be proven wrong. I wanted to have been proven wrong all season, and it hasn't really happened. So I honestly think the level of performance we've sort of seen from Derby is about what we're going to get between now and the end of the season. And I'm not sure alone that that's enough. Moving on to the final points of the podcast, as we said, Bristol Rovers on Saturday, Chris. Chris Martin, he's a man in form for Bristol Rovers at the moment. The one thing that I would say, and obviously we know how he plays, and he's smart. There's no two ways about it. I look at it as it's the right sort of type of striker for our back line. Not a great deal of pace. Holds the ball up. We know Cashin, Nelson, Bradley, if we play the three, which I'm presuming we will, if they only play one up top, hopefully those three isolate him. I don't think Bristol Rovers obviously have been as good this year as they were last season. Obviously, last season, it was the last kick of the game, wasn't it, that they got something out of the game with that dubious penalty that they got given in the 96th minute or whatever it was after Derby had taken an early lead and then got absolutely dicked for about 70 minutes. They just couldn't find a way through us. So a bit of resiliency. And I think I look at it, as I say, just hopping back to those last two games, the Barnsley game, we were going into it on a fantastic away run. And I've got no problem with losing that game. The home run hasn't been brilliant. So is the Barnsley one away just a bit of a blip and we can really get back onto winning ways? Picking up another 3 points on Saturday for me, if we can get through it, it just answers the questions. We've got to keep our hat in the mix at the end of the day. Everybody, it seemed the fixture list has seemed to have fallen just recently where all the top sides are at home on the same weekend as it was Saturday. You took an early lead. I remember looking at the fixtures thinking, oh, here we go. And then within 20 minutes, everybody was in front, practically apart from Barnsley, who obviously ended up running out 4-2 winners. It's when everybody's away, they're going to be the ones where if you can get something, just the way that the fixtures are panning out at the moment, if you can win your away games, you're definitely not going to be dropping any points, obviously, because you might make up one or two, but they're not great. We know that. It's about going down there and continuing what has been I think it's still the league's best away away run, isn't it? 11 wins, 12, whatever it is. We're still right up there, coming off the back of a 3-0 victory at home, should give them some confidence. A nice week, pumping some tactics into them, a couple of the key players getting a week's rest. But we've seen it all before, Chris. We could go into Saturday and absolutely bow down to them. And I'm almost hoping not for an early goal, because we seem to falter with early ones.
It is bonkers, isn't it? You've just mentioned the away form. Yeah, we're on the verge of breaking a club record, which goes back to, I think, the George Burley season. It's bonkers that we in the space of 5 minutes of discussion, we go from saying that the form isn't good enough to get us where we want to be, to then mention that we've got the best away form in the league. Bristol Rovers, interesting team. They've played no one really in the last six. I think they beat Stevenage away 3-2, which was an eye-opening result. A good old Chris Martin either scores or gets sent off. So who knows what we're going to expect from the wardrobe. I think, again, it's a nice fixture to have at this time to give us a bit of confidence to, I'll take a 1-0 and let's exit out there quickly. You know, let's get a cash and rob and to get out of there. I don't think it's going to be pretty. You know, and I know, I just don't see it being a pretty game at all. One thing that I will say is going in Derby's favour, which I think might see us in a better frame of light thinking about it, is that Sonny Bradley is the captain. And I'd rather have him leading us through the last 10 games than Conor Hourihan, purely because he will not allow anyone to drop off. You listen to some of his post-match and he's an incredible listen. He's a very, very proud man. And I'm glad that he's got the armband. I said to you, Jason, at the start of the season, you should have had it from day one. I believe that we would have been in a better position with him being the leader. So I personally think, for a prediction, I think we'll come out of there 1-0 winners. I think it's going to be a game to forget, but I think it's going to be a dead ball. I think at the moment we are strong in dead ball situations. And I think if we can score, I think you hit the nail on the head regarding the Barnsley issue about scoring too early. I think we've learned from that. And if we do score early against Bristol Rovers, they haven't got the potency which Barnsley have.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. But yeah, no, as I say, our away form, Jack, we're looking for a Charlton away sort of performance. We're looking for an Oxford away sort of performance. Hopefully not 2-0 down, of course. Away form has been pretty solid, and as Chris mentioned, even when we've obviously had a decent away run, we've normally been good at home. We know we've not been good at home this season in comparison to previous seasons. So it's almost a bit of a boost that we go away and try and pick something up. And I think, like Chris has just mentioned, it's probably not going to be pretty. One of the things that I think we've got to sort of do on Saturday, and I don't think it's in Warne's game plan, if I'm being completely honest, because we've got that game Tuesday night and then we've got Bolton on Saturday. Really, we need to turn up on Saturday, put them out of the game early on and just sit in second gear and just dictate the game, which is more of a sort of a home style performance, but we know we haven't been able to do that at home. Whereas away, I think we've been quite resilient other than the Barnsley game. But it's about getting in there and getting out with the 3 points however we can, hopefully not picking up any injuries. And if we can do it at a bit of a canter, that's only going to benefit the game Tuesday night and then obviously going on into Bolton as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is difficult, three games in a week with that big one to come. I think, you know, Bristol Rovers are a solid side, but Derby should, touch wood, be able to beat them because we have been better on the road. And I think this is a really interesting thing, actually. Like, what is causing this? Because you think back, I mean, only a couple of years ago, we saw Pride Park being a fortress in the most difficult of conditions. Derby with the odds against them pulling off some huge, huge results. And yeah, it's the complete polar opposite at times now. But yeah, Derby really impressive on the road. And frankly, for these last 10 games, if we could go up by hook or by crook, no one's going to care if they were vintage performances. No one's going to care if it's scintillating football if we get up. But of course, what comes with that is that if you don't get up and you play poor football, in inverted commas, then you have less credit in the bank as well.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I think to pick up on your point, and I'd be interested to get both your opinions, we saw the way that Derby played last season away from home, and I appreciate that was under two different managers, under three different styles and different players. Do you think Derby were a little bit over, I'm trying to think of the best way of describing it, Jack, just sort of, they weren't up for going away last season to these grounds with 3,000-4,000 that are tight on them. And because I think this season it does look as if we've got a better style, we've got a better setup, we handle the occasion, maybe, I think is probably the best way to put it. You think we handle the occasion a little bit better away from home this season, whereas on the flip side, we've not been as potent at home, and teams know, and we've said it for years, Derby struggle to break down teams when they sit behind us at home. Derby have continued to struggle with that. But do you think away from home that not fear factor as such, but they've just learned how to play the occasion a little bit better?
Yeah, there's a difference in mentality.
I think the birds.
Isn't there? Complete change in mentality. And it's the style of football. Counter-attacking football is, you know, something that it lends itself to being away from home traditionally. But yeah, Chris, you know, I'd be interested in your thoughts here because yeah, it does feel different to me.
When I used to coach the academy girls at Derby County, one thing that I say to the girls is play the conditions. And I think one thing that Derby have had this year as an advantage is knowing that they're going to certain pitches with certain dimensions that are completely different to Pride Park, and also the condition of the surface that they're playing on. So I think it was a bit of a culture shock last year to some of the players going into the depths of the League One and not having a carpet to play on, nor the ability to play on a very tight touchline when you've got fans literally able to touch you when you're running down the line. I think they've adapted to that better. I take your point about the counter-attacking football. I will say that we still don't have, even after all this time of reflecting on what happened last year, that we've come up with a plan B or C, and that concerns me. Because you can play the conditions so far, you can play a pitch and the team against you so far, and if it's not working, what do you resort to? And we can't even blame the bench this year, because in general, the bench has been strong. Last year, we were desperate in certain games, and we had to rely on the 11 to start and finish. And I think ultimately, towards the end of the season, the energy came, got sapped out of the players. And I think they fell apart because we just didn't have the bench to replace them and allow them to recover. So, yeah, it's an interesting debate, Jason. It really is.
Are you saying we've got the recruitment right this year, Chris, with the bench being right?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's better. let's be honest, it can't be any bloody worse.
No. And, you know, you talk about, just to, before we move on to Reading for the final 5 minutes, you talk about, obviously, Derby playing certain style of pitches and not being used to that. I mean, if anybody saw the pictures of Valley Parade on Saturday, where I read about it, where the ref, I think at about 10:30 in the morning, called the game on, no need for a pitch inspection. And then 10 minutes before the game, they called it off. And I saw the pictures of the pitch. I mean, it wasn't a patch on the old baseball ground, but by Christ, that was a rough pitch on Saturday. There's no two ways. There wasn't much football being played on that one. So we move on. I say it's almost, you've almost got to take them a game at a time now. So it's really hard to preview two games on the podcast, but it's pointless in trying to squeeze in another review before that. And we can evaluate the two after that, before we look ahead to that crunch one, really, hopefully, against Bolton. Reading, Jack, obviously a team that we went there not so long ago in fine form, hoping to go top of the league. And it, you know, it all just fell apart in what was a absolute rubbish performance. And obviously ultimately a rubbish result. As I say, it is hard to preview both in a row, because a lot will now depend on the way that Derby come out of the South West on Saturday. But we say that they do, and it's then two in a row. You've then got to back it up. You then look at it. You've got back-to-back home games again to try and keep spearheading this run for second place, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, Reading caused Derby, you know, a lot of inconvenience that night, certainly, and a fair few problems. It was a really poor performance from Derby that night, and I think they will be out for revenge. They're going to want that. I'd say Reading, you know, they're looking a little bit safer now. They're up 17th, but they are still only, what, 5 points clear of the relegation zone, and Cheltenham in 21st have a game in hand. So I think they're still in a position where every point does count, because it is so tight at the bottom. I mean, so, yeah, I think Derby, a lot will depend on Saturday if we can continue positive momentum, as word we always seem to use. Then I take that back to Pride Park. Then, you know, hopefully keep the form up. But the other side to that, of course, is balancing it again in the same way you're saying we need to start well against Bristol Rovers and then play in second gear. If they could do the same on Tuesday night and conserve energy for Saturday, for the following Saturday, that'd be ideal. But it's difficult because I think Reading will be up for it coming to Pride Park, and you know they'll want to cause problems, as everyone will. They've got some players who have impressed this season. You know, I've been quite impressed with the right winger Femi Azizi. Played really well against us. 6 goals, 6 assists in a struggling side. 36 games is, you know, pretty good relative to where they are and the way the team has played. Nibs as well. He's got 10 goals. Blimey, I didn't realise it's quite that many. Lewis Wing, he's caused a few problems for Derby, not just against them, but also for other teams in the past. There's some good players in this Reading team, and they could spring a surprise. But I would hope, again, Derby, if they can get the job done on Saturday, do the same again. And by the next time we talk, we're thinking, right, got through those. Now for the one that's the big one on paper.
Yeah, and just looking at the result from Oakwell at the moment, as Barnsley have taken the lead, we really are going to have to we're really going to have to come out of these two with two victories. Looking into that Bolton game, if we want to really keep on our fight for second place. But final minute or so, Chris, before the stream runs out. Say Reading Tuesday, hard to look ahead, but Derby have got to be looking hopefully to pick up on Saturday and then galvanise themselves. And going into that Bolton game in hopefully as full of confidence as we possibly can.
I agree. By the way, Peterborough also went in 2-1 now, so they're on the heels. Simple answer to that, Jason, exactly what you just said, confidence. Come out of Saturday with a win, go into a very important home game with confidence and hopefully a high-capacity crowd behind you. Go into that game with a defeat and little confidence, and then I think the pressure will take its toll. And I think that Reading are a better team than people take granted. They had a points deduction. We've had 2 points deductions this year. So, again, I'll take a 1-0 win, Jason.
Yeah, no, confidence, as you say, and I think a lot of people underestimated Reading when we went at their place not so long ago. So, yeah, no, not an easy game at all. That is it for this week's episode of the Rams Review podcast. As we say, we'll be back after the Reading game, recording hopefully next Wednesday night. My thanks go out to Jack. Appreciate it, mate. Thank you very much.
Yes, thanks, mate. Yeah, hopefully speak soon.
No worries. And Chris Salt, as always, mate, thank you very much.
Always good, Jason. Great to see you both.
Despite a solid combative performance, Derby County women fell to defeat on Sunday as visitors Burnley scored twice. The Clarets had the majority of possession, favouring the switch at play down the left flank on many an occasion against a Derby side that frustrated them. The visitors had the first chance of the game, Ginny Lackey shooting across goal in search of the bottom left corner, but Anna Draper made the save at her near post. Becky May played well for Derby, both when in deeper pockets and in the attacking third as part of the used fluid front line, and had their first notable chance, her shot from distance, like a few of the hosts had, not quite dipping enough. Charlotte Steckles fired over from close range following a corner halfway through the first half, but the most crucial moment came at the other end, where Anna Draper made a great reaction save to tip Millie Ravening's shot from 20 yards over the bar.
Tom Griffith's side had another opportunity on the stroke of half-time, Amy Sims heading straight at the keeper from a corner, before starting the second half well. Substitute Dulcie O'Connor was impressive, had a great chance when through on goal, but shot straight at the keeper. As the cagey, scrappy second half progressed, it's clear that Derby needed to be better on the ball. As Burnley ramped up the pressure, Derby held strong, Millie Jenkins clearing Kelly's effort off the line, but the visitors would break the deadlock with 18 minutes to play when she fired low from 20 yards out. Charlotte Steggles had a chance to equalise with 10 minutes to play, getting ahead on a free kick, but she was unable to direct it goalwards. And Clark doubled the Claret's lead with a minute to play, turning a rebound for a goal on their debut. Derby were good out of possession for most of the game. Emily Joyce impressed me in midfield, alongside the centre-back pairing of Steggles and Jackson behind her. Sam Griffiths described the performance as the best we've been without the ball. Playing one of the best sides in the division, Griffiths said in their post-match interview, quote, "We have shown we can compete against anyone, and this is something that the Ewes will have to do across the rest of the season. They next host Halifax at the Don Amos Arena on Sunday for a midweek game, a trip to Stoke on Wednesday the 13th of March.
And we've been the Rams Review, and until next time, up the Rams. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Rams Review podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to get in touch, we're on Twitter at RamsReview1. Our Facebook is Rams Review Podcast, or you can drop us an email, ramsreview@hotmail.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, up the Rams.